the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to the all-new premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our bonus hour here on the Tom Likas Show. We do this live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And joining us in studio, as he does every Tuesday, here is family law attorney Adam Sachs. How was your new year, Adam?
Very nice. Beautiful seeing you, Tom.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
I kind of got off track, you know. 2 weeks is a long time to go.
Well, for us, that's an eternity. We never take 2 weeks off.
Eternity for me.
We never do it. But we worked very hard in 2014, and we needed those 2 weeks.
Definitely.
We took them. Now we're fresh as daisies. All of us. All of us.
Tom, there's so much shit going on. Oh, my God.
I want to get to that, but before we do.
Oh, my God.
Let me bring up our caller, Kevin, because I promised him.
Kevin, okay.
Kevin. Now, Kevin's a regular caller from Chicago.
Okay,
he's a
P1,
and we love talking to him, and he calls us all the time. And he told us a little more about himself today than we had previously known. Among the things he told us is that he married his high school sweetheart, who he had broken up with right about high school time. And while she was broken up from him, she was impregnated by some other guy. And then they broke up with him, and then she got back with Kevin, and then they got married. So now here they are married, and this little girl, he adopted her. She has his last name, and they all live together. And they've been married for 5 years. And so I said, and what was the name of your attorney who did the prenup? And, of course, he did not have a prenup. But he did say that the postnup is on the way.
Right.
It's on the way. Now, they've married 5 years. I said, what's her attorney's name? No attorney. Not yet, he said. And we talk about postnuptial agreements all the time. Obviously, they're kind of obscure compared to prenups. And I've always questioned whether they are as effective as prenups. So before we talk about Kevin's situation, let's talk about postnuptial agreements. Are they a good idea?
Well, I mean, people generally have a prenuptial agreement, and then they may modify it with the postnuptial agreement, such as adding like what they call codicils and other conditions. You may have had circumstances that really change, like during your marriage. You know, we talk about people that say, well, I don't give a crap, I don't have anything, and that can change, obviously, during the course of your marriage. So you may have started off saying we're going to split our property, or we're going to keep things separate or whatever. That was the prenuptial agreement. And then you as the husband, let's say, start making like a lot of money and you get stock options or whatever. And so you're going to add a postnuptial agreement with some more issues related to some of these other details. One of the realities, however, is that the entire incentive is gone. When you were getting the prenuptial agreement, the woman really wanted to get married. And so you were telling her, okay, we'll get married as long as you sign this agreement. We work this out. Now that you're married, you're pretty much behind the eight ball. You say, okay, now I want you to sign this new thing. And she goes, fuck you, I'm not going to sign it. And what, you have no leverage whatsoever. I have to say, Tom, seriously, you had this hour before. You were talking to guys that got involved with women that have children from other men and so forth. I didn't hear you say the phrase, but you used to talk about taking on another man's cast-off progeny. And that is really true. That is really what it is. And women try to reform marriages and families. It's very, very common. I saw today when I was in court waiting for my case to be called. There was another case prior. And the guy had apparently spent about a year in jail. And while he was in jail, the woman got involved with a new guy. And the kid was so young that didn't really remember the father, so she told the kid that the new guy was the father, and she literally thinks that that's going to work. And I've seen a lot of cases where the woman tells the guy, I think it's something that the Australian guy was saying, you know, if you love me, you're going to love my child, or you have to love me, you have to love my child. And guys sometimes get talked into even adopting these kids, certainly acting in a parental role. And I have to tell you, there's absolutely no upside to it. And I've seen the test of time. A lot of these guys have put a lot of effort into this child and really been very good to the child. And the child ends up taking and taking and then becomes an adult and never calls, never keeps in touch. So you don't have any of the benefits of being a parent in terms of later in life. You know, you're supposed to have a child so that it's going to, like, be with you later and take care of you when you're older or visit you or whatever. And here the kid's like, you know, F you, you're not really my father, and don't tell me what to do and all that good stuff. And so, you know, the real lesson is to just be aware. Everyone knows there's red flags. If you're in a marriage now and you're thinking about postnuptials and changing and all this other stuff, that's your subconscious telling you that it's time to get the hell out.
Right.
I really think. I'm sorry. I listen to the guys talking about it's okay and why girls different. And then I talk to them a few years later and they're singing the blues. Now, speaking of a few years ago, and this is this culmination of everything happening now in the past few weeks, I was in the family court, and I saw this guy named Saul Hudson in front of me in line.
Oh, no.
And he's got this nose piercing, which was very unusual. And, you know, he was filing
for a
divorce.
Was he wearing a leather hat?
No, no hat. He, you know, he filed, that's the guitarist Slash, and he filed for his divorce several years ago, I think in either 2010 or 2011 approximately. And that was, you know, Tom, under 10 years. And what do we talk about, never hitting the rewind button?
Right.
Well, shit for brains, dropped the case. And now apparently they filed again now, except now it's more than 10 years. And so instead of paying her, God help him, a shitload of alimony, he is now going to be paying her for life. And, I mean, I was talking to Dino about this. I mean, if you think about your life, and this is, you know, I mean, it's easy to say whatever, he's rich, who cares? But, you know, people are concerned about their finances, whoever they are. And if you look at Robin Williams, I mean, he killed himself over this, literally. Now, we know he was depressed or whatever, but wouldn't you be depressed? He had to pay between $4 and $6 million a year just in alimony. And that is after having given these women half of his fortune twice. He had two ex-wives. Now, when you talk about someone like him handing over tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in property and assets and stocks and all the things you worked for your whole life, and then before you wake up in the morning, you've got to earn $10 million a year after taxes just to pay, you know, $6 million after taxes to your two ex-wives, that brings you to zero, okay? So here, at 60-something years old, you have to come out of retirement. He was sitting with his agent, and they made him do this crappy TV show that no one watched. He was going to have to make a sequel to Miss Doubtfire. I mean, I know it sounds, you know, well, he's a movie star. I mean, come on, look at the reunions they've had now. I saw on television they were doing the Monty Python reunion. That was to pay alimony.
Right. Well, John Cleese is one of the biggest suckers
yeah.
I've ever heard of.
Tens of millions.
John Cleese of Monty Python's
yeah.
Flying Circus has been divorced repeatedly.
Yeah.
But not only that. Unlike yours truly, who's been divorced repeatedly, he has paid millions and millions of dollars to his ex-wife.
That's right. But what ends up happening is that he ends up having to come out of retirement. He's an older guy. Maybe he didn't want to. And he's doing a reunion. I think we're going to see a Guns N' Roses reunion because of Slash now. And that certainly was influential on, I think, the Eagles, for example, had to come back together to pay alimony or whatever.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you always see people that were involved. I know that, for example, this wasn't alimony, but Marlon Brando had to come out of retirement to pay legal expenses, which was for his son who was facing criminal charges. It's, you know, it's nice to want to work, but if you're doing things that you don't want to do and you're forced to do, you know, just to make money, and for what? To pay off some bitch ex-wife. I mean, that's humiliating. If you look at the list now, I mean, we've just heard again, and by the way, this is another one of these rewinders. Chris Rock had apparently filed a divorce in 2006 and withdrawn it, and then, you know, ended up doing it again now. Elon Musk, who is, you know, someone I really admire.
He's been a guest on this show.
That's right. That was terrific. I saw him in person at one of his presentations. He's very, very interesting character. He's responsible for SpaceX, which is space exploration, and Tesla cars, of course. And the bottom line is, I mean, you know, he invented PayPal, Tom. I think that's pretty incredible by itself.
Yes.
And he actually, and it's not his first wife, but he married this woman, divorced her. He paid her millions. Well, they did have a prenup, by the way. And then he married the same woman again, if you can believe that. And now he's divorcing her again, and he's going to owe her millions again. And, I mean, I think that, you know, you talk to these people, you got to be a complete fool to literally, what we used to say, Tom, turn back the rewind, right? Or you don't rewind?
Don't press the rewind.
Don't press the rewind. That's not a joke. And I know that it's sort of a sweet revenge. I think about some, you know, woman that, you know, dumped me when I was in high school or college or something, and this never happened to me, but I know this happened to you, Tom, that one of them saw you on 2020.
That's right.
That's sweet revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Who saw you on TV and looked
She's
you
the
up.
One who changed the locks. And,
yeah,
and
put everything in the hallway.
Put everything in the hallway.
What a sweetie.
And then when
call
she
me
saw
when you
me
have
on,
a job.
Years later, when she saw me on 2020, she... yeah, she called me up at called me at KFI. Hey,
hey, sweetie, what's up?
You ever get to New York?
Yeah,
that's what she said.
Nice to talk to you. I saw you on TV. You look like you're doing all right.
I try.
Well, so I mean, to kind of dig into that into the trash there and to try to pull that out and, you know, clean it up and wipe it off and make it into something good. You know, you see that these things are just, you know, destined to fail, very, very tragically. And, you know, one of the things that you look at is the circumstances. And you have to really ask yourself, if it was screwed up the first time, is it going to be better the second time around? Now, another example, which is interesting, this is the guy from The Hurt Locker, Jeremy Renner. He's a great actor. And he married with a prenuptial agreement. And he's been married for less than a year. He's probably got a lot of money as an actor, but she... You know, she's not stupid. This is what happens, Tom. This is even with prenups. I'm sorry. She immediately is claiming that the prenuptial was procured by fraud, and she wants it set aside. And guys don't understand this. I got calls recently. I got a call from a lady who said to me that her marriage is in, like, 2 weeks, and she wants to do a prenup. And I told her, it's too late. You can't have a date set. And she said, no, she called a lot of lawyers, and they told her, that, you know, you have to do it 10 days before or 7 days before. I mean, people come up with these fantasies, and then there are a lot of guys out there that got a prenup at Tom's favorite, the UPS store.
Yes.
And they think that they're covered, and they don't have shit. They have nothing. And the guy that you were referring to where you started this hour off, he's been with this woman a long time. He's kidding himself that he's going to make some kind of a post-nup, and he's literally closing his eyes on the pillow every night saying, I'm okay, I don't have to worry, I've got the post-nup cooking. And, you know, all it takes, it's exactly true what we've seen in our cases, you know, all it takes now is one phone call. That's the joke. She gets in a fight with you, she calls 911, the cops come, the whole situation collapses. And you think you got it covered, and she's going to say that you were coercing her, the signatures were obtained by fraud. I mean, everyone has to remember the case of Jamie McCourt, who was the wife of the owner of the Dodgers. You know, not anymore, but this was a few years ago. She was owned by their family. And she claimed, again, they had a prenup, and she claimed that it was procured by fraud. And she went over it, and, you know, a lawyer went over it with a fine-tooth comb and found all kinds of flaws and was able to get it set aside. And she claimed that she didn't understand it, and she actually had a lawyer do it with her. And the worst part, Tom, is
she's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer herself.
Yeah, Johns Hopkins University.
There you go.
Yep.
And she's swearing on the Bible that she couldn't understand a word of what it said and that it was fraudulent. And she started to cry, and everyone felt really sorry for her.
Right.
Anyway, I have. Do we have a call? I have someone I wanted to call in.
Well, why don't we why don't we take a break now?
Oh, okay. And is he there, though? Did we get him?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And we'll get to him first thing.
I want to roll into him with what we're talking about.
No, don't worry, we will. All right, we'll come back with Adam Sachs. By the way, if you've got questions for Adam, Adam is here to answer your legal questions about family law, divorce, separation, child support, child custody, vagina money, prenups, postnups, even those very exciting restraining orders, very dramatic. If any of those are your concern, you can start dialing in right now. And to talk to Adam directly here at 901-3000-TOM. It's free legal advice, folks. 901-3000-TOM. Dial us right now at 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now, or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and apps like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no bras, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. C-O-S. T-L-O.
Cover time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Happy 2015, everybody. Here we are with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are not only here with family law attorney Adam Sachs, and your calls at 901-3000-TOM. Let me remind you, this is the very first show we are doing that was not guaranteed this year. I promise you, we would do Monday, January 5th to tell you if we were going to continue, but no more. That was it. So we are here because you guys answered the call, you guys signed up, you guys subscribed, you guys advertised on the show. you guys came to our events, and that is why we are here, because you support us. And thank you for that. That's why we're here in 2015. It's because of you. We appreciate it. Adam Sachs is here, not only a big supporter of the show in every way, but also here to answer your legal questions. And we have an Adam Sachs client here on the line. You want me to put him on, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do it. This is Michael. Michael's in Orange County. Hello, Michael.
Tom, Adam, how are you gentlemen doing?
Hey, Michael, what's going on?
Doing great.
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right, so I want to do a little setup for you, Michael, and I want you to tell us in your own words. But, you know, Tom, this represents so many of the things that we talk about. Michael hit them all, and he's a long-term listener. I'm going to have to explain that. You're going to have to set him straight. But he got involved with a single mother.
Oh, boy.
And he did the break up and get back together thing.
Oh, worst.
A few other things. So, Michael, tell us about your sweetie pie.
Well, I was going to say, first off, you do not, under any circumstances, press the rewind button like I did. It detonated, and, well, I was blown to bits, but I'm able to talk to you guys right now because basically got a victory thanks to Adam,
right,
the lady that I thought was a lady. Okay,
undeserving
of the title, but I've known her for 10 years. Okay, so got to hang out with her, cool chick. I mean, fun, bubbly, just a wonderful personality, okay? And this was like, wow. She had a daughter, no problems. We all hung out before we actually hooked up because we were together officially for 3 years, all right? But in the meantime, or prior to that, we went out. You can call them dates, but really I never looked at it that way, even though I would pay, you know, go to the movies with them, you know, take them out to eat and yada, yada. Our relationship started getting heavy, and we started talking about me moving in with her, and that was the major mistake right there. I ignored so many red flags. They were set on fire.
You ignored the tenets of Likas 101, every one of them.
No kidding.
Well, Tom, Professor, absolutely ignored it. Thought, you know what, it's not going to happen to me. I'm the one. I'm the one that could somehow just, you know, circumvent that, and I'll be fine.
And she's special. She's different.
Exactly.
Let's remind now. Now you live together with her and her kid for about 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And you're taking on the father role, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then tell us how that ended, because it was very explosive, as I recall.
Yeah, it just happened like, I mean, it was quick. One morning, and this is I'm waking up. I got home from work. I fall asleep on the couch, and I wake up. She took my phone. She deleted everything on there and stuff. And it was just like a bunch of nothing. But all of a sudden, I go and try to knock on the door, and she has it locked. And she tells me the first thing is that I touched her daughter.
Okay, now hold on. Listen to this, Tom. You talk about no good deed goes unpunished, okay? Classic. Here's a guy who's raising some other man's daughter, being good to the kid, sets up a house for the kid and everything with the mother, and the first thing out of her mouth is, you molested my daughter. You touched her wrong. Now, that's 25 years to life right there, okay? Keep going.
Well, she kept the door locked to the bedroom, and I was trying to knock on it. She threatened to call the cops, and my dumbass tells her, you should call the cops because I'm naturally innocent.
Oh, boy.
All right?
Right. Yeah. So, prove you're innocent.
Now, that's what I thought I could do, which the cops come by. She luckily changed her story. Okay? She then changed it for me, clutching her daughters, and now I broke and entered into our own place, which, how could that be? I have a driver's license with the address of where I live. So I got off the hook, thought everything was fine and dandy. I immediately moved out that same day. Lo and behold, on Monday, because this happened on a weekend, by Monday, I was being served a restraining order.
Okay, so she does the classic psycho breakup, Tom. It's not enough to throw him out and say, you touched my daughter. She goes for a restraining order against him.
Wow.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm. And, well, after that, I mean, and this is the sad part. It was served because as I had moved out, I was moving everything into storage. So she sent it, obviously, to the other place that she only knew that I receive it. My family's home. So now I'm embarrassed, okay, because now my family's going to get involved in this whole matter. And, it was just a headache there. But because I was in love, okay, I just decided, because she called me back just crying and everything, telling me, oh, you know, I didn't mean it and stuff like that. And I pressed the rewind button and
okay,
we
now
got
hold
back
on,
together.
Tom. You're talking about taking back a woman after she's made a restraining order against you. Okay? Kiss my ass, man. No way. I'm sorry. And this is a fact, Tom, and this is something you always used to say. If your area code is 911, a woman calls the cops on you, a restraining order, forget it. Whatever it is, you never, ever talk to her again.
Right.
And here he's forgiving her. It was all a misunderstanding. They get back together.
Oh, my.
Jesus, Michael.
Yes, so now we fast forward it, and our relationship starts to crumble. And short time after, I mean, I was blindsided once again with the second restraining order, only this time it gets better. I get it served at my job. So I show up to work, and I'm being told, you need to go back outside right now. There's a sheriff waiting for you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
isn't that romantic?
So I go outside. and sure enough, you know, other people that work with my company had already approached this guy, so I'm already assuming, great, he's asking for me. So now people in my job are starting to know that it's me, and it's going to spread like wildfire. So, of course, it's like a ton of bricks.
So to humiliate him at work, it's going to make you lose your job, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
And all this happened... it was in December, so it just happened a few weeks ago. I got served those papers a week before Adam and I went to court. So it was on short notice.
Okay, so this is now being back with her after the first restraining order, and now, of course, a little while later, shit goes wrong again. She does it again. Okay? And this is when he hires me. Okay? And we're preparing now for the hearing. This is only a few weeks ago, Tom. And she's going for a restraining order that she's terrified for her life and that he's stalking her and that he's following her and that he's behind her car and all this kind of good stuff, right? So
yep.
We go to court and you and I are sitting there dressed in like suits. You and I look like two mafia guys, right?
Exactly.
She walks in, she takes one look at us, and she runs to get a sheriff. She's petrified. And she literally has the sheriff escort her around the courthouse because she's so scared. Then we go into court, and she immediately starts crying in front of the judge. Remember this, Mike?
Yes, I do.
Tell us what happened.
Well, we're sitting in front of the judge, and they ask her a few questions and, you know, about what happened and why do you need a restraining order on me. I mean, from what she had actually put in the restraining order that I was served at my job was completely different from what actually happened in the courtroom. She changed her story right there on the fly, talking about how all of a sudden I am stalking her. Not only that, I'm threatening her and her daughter, which I've always done everything I can as a fatherly figure to help her daughter. Okay? She said that I physically attacked her. All right, try to damage.
I hope the boys who want to raise other people's kids are hearing this because, as we always say on this show, no good deed goes unpunished.
Now she's gone back to her first story again that he touched the daughter wrong and all this other bullshit. Also, that the daughter's terrified of him when actually they had a good relationship and he was actually very kind to the daughter. Now, the worst part is, think about this, Michael, if you're really attached to the daughter, she flips a switch and you can never see her again. Right? It's not just the daughter who loses, it's you too.
Yes.
So think about a guy that's invested years and years in a child, and let's say he really actually loves this child. You know, it's not his, but whatever. Okay? Bitch wants to take the kid, move to another place, say, fuck you, you were never the father, you got no rights.
That's correct.
Anyway, so what happened? How do you finish this up?
Well, as she's going through her made-up story in drama land, of course, Adam has my back, and he attacked like a pit bull. I mean, he did a hell of a job and just basically put her in her place. So, I mean, I was feeling completely confident the entire time going in there, knowing that having him by my side that's like Teflon. So I can only imagine if I went there alone, I'd have crumbled.
Well,
I mean,
didn't we see other people, other guys, you know, because the judge does only restraining orders, right? So we saw other cases. They all got killed. Right?
Yep.
Little Miss Princess Bitch comes in and says, oh, I'm scared. Oh, he threatened me. And the guy's like, duh, duh, duh. And that was it. I took out the shredder and I ripped her a fucking new one.
That was great. That was just beautiful to see. I mean, just to be there in person under these circumstances, it was still wonderful to see that Adam completely makes you feel comfortable. And I really appreciate that because after we got the case dropped, I won.
You listening to this, Tom?
You won.
Of course.
Of course I'm listening to this.
Got rid of it, but hold on. Hold on. Brace yourself. What's the icing on the cake?
Oh, it's great because this person who walks in with her protection, right, gets the sheriff to watch her back because I'm such a dangerous villain, okay? She goes outside. She's at the elevator. We had paused because we don't want to be out there at the same time, so we gave it enough time. Okay, but the elevator still didn't come up yet, and so that she can go in there. She saw me walking out. I look right over at her, and she sticks her tongue out right at me, turns around, and just darts right into the elevator. And it's like, oh my God.
Is that second grade? Second grade.
That was her reaction, not saying, fuck you.
No, she stuck out her tongue like a little child.
It's almost as if, wait a minute, wait, that's almost as if she was saying, well, I tried, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just fucking with you.
All right.
Because I could.
What are we going to do to her now?
Oh, we're going to sue her. We're going to get her back the fees.
Yeah.
I love that.
See, having gotten the restraining order denied, I'm going to go in now. We already have it set up. And we're going to say, look, this cost him thousands of dollars in legal fees, lost time at work, blah, blah, blah. And we want her to pay it.
Now, obviously, we don't know who we're talking about here, so let's just talk in general terms. In a case like that, what are the odds of winning and yet getting paid off?
I win these all the time.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Didn't I showed you one, didn't I, Michael? I gave you one that I had won a couple months ago.
I still have it, yes.
Yeah, if I sued every chick who took money from me on the false pretenses, it would be a land office business. We could just be doing that the time, full time, nothing else.
The bottom line is that she wasted our time. She wasted his money. And it's like California loser pays. So because it was baseless and it was a waste of time, I can ask the judge. Now, she's going to come in and she's going to cry that she's broke. Right. And it's such a freaking tragedy. But when you really looked at her evidence and what she presented, it was crap. It was nothing. In other words, you had this big build-up, and she comes in, and she's all tough girl, and it's the second time. And when it finally came down to it, and the judge said, okay, show me some proof. Let's see. Let's go. She had nothing ready. It was a joke.
Oh, my.
So the real rule here, I think, Michael, I hope you have this right now, is we avoid the single mothers. You don't rewind. You watch the red flags.
Watch the burning red flags.
Was she
the
greatest sex ever? Is that the problem?
She was good in bed.
That's right. You always are.
That's crazy.
She even warned me too, Tom. I mean, before I got with her, she told me that she was difficult.
Isn't that something?
I thought, oh, how cute.
Now, hold on a second. You got to really think about that. Can you imagine you meet a woman and she says to you right off the bat, I want you to know I'm really difficult. And what the fuck is that?
It's all you need to know.
So there it is right there. Unbelievable.
Oh,
and
my.
That's the other one, right? Crazy, crazy in the head, crazy in the bed, right?
Yeah.
And she definitely had, I mean, there was something about her. I mean, you know, I only saw her briefly and all, but I mean, she's not very beautiful, but there was something sexy about her in kind of a sleazy way. And she was a screamer. So there you go. You know, guys get involved.
And not in a good way.
Yeah, not in a good way. You guys get involved with a cold fish, and you get this chick who goes out of her mind, and it's exciting, right?
Yes.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, I'm glad she didn't press any further thing, or she didn't start getting into this shit about your daughter, because claims of sex abuse are very, very upsetting things, very difficult to deal with. So I'm really glad that didn't go down that road, and it was great beating her. and just seeing what a little moron she was, what a petty little girl, to kind of go away and stick out her tongue at us. What a schmuck.
Jesus Christ. Unbelievable.
It was great representing you, Mike. I had a great time. We're going to get some money from her in a couple of months, too. That'll be great.
And just please don't repeat. I know you can just keep giving Adam all the business in the world, but come on. Hopefully you've learned your lessons.
Yeah, because it wasn't my first go around with a woman that had a child. So, yeah, I think this time around, you know, just don't how can I put it? You know, when you're a good guy, but I think for any guy, just don't do it.
There's no benefit to you to do it.
It's just, it's really sad, you know. The truth is, this is something that's just a reality. Your own children, your own flesh and blood children drive you crazy, and they're difficult to deal with. And, you know, to take on the responsibility of someone else's kids, it's not a rational thing to do. It's crazy. And, you know, it's unbelievable, but women really are programmed to go for the genes of the thug, the psychopath, to have the child, and that guy ends up fucking them over. And then they're looking for the provider guy, the weak guy who's going to then help them raise some other guy's kid. And, you know, that's crazy. And the way the courts work now, and you should know this, Mike, this is no joke. If you're with a kid a number of years, she can turn around and sue you for child support after you break up. And guys go, well, I ain't gonna pay child support, it ain't my kid. That doesn't matter. You've taken on a parental role. There are lots of courts that will say that you should pay. And, I mean, that's absolutely bizarre. And I've seen these guys, like I said, that adopted the kid. It ends up being a disaster that way, too. You know, we have so many things in our lives and so many things that can go wrong. It's very important to, you know, place your bets carefully and to, you know, watch your finances, as Tom always says. And you don't get yourself into things that are, you know, 99% likely to explode in your face. And no good deed goes unpunished.
That's right. All right, Michael, good luck. Thank you for your story. We really appreciate it.
Was that something?
Hey, thank you guys very much for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mike. That's everything now, on the list, Tom. Everything.
There's a case where I'm imagining before he called you, he probably thought it was a waste of time.
Oh, yeah.
He was screwed. He was going to be screwed. Look, I've been divorced 4 times. I know how they feel. You know, you feel going into it that you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You lose sleep every night wondering what she's planning or what legal paper is going to be dropped at your front door today. Or
well, that's what he said to me. I mean, when he first called me and we were talking about it, he said, you know, it's next week. I'm screwed, right? Like, why even bother?
Right.
And I said, no, we're going to go in. We're going to kick ass. And he was, like, incredulous with me. Like, come on. You know, no offense, Adam. I know you're good, but come on. There's no point, you know?
Right.
And the perception is that the courts favor women. And by the way, she did exactly what one would expect, full court press. She came in, cried. You know, she was hysterical. She dressed herself down like she was this downtrodden, a little virgin with a high neckline, by the way. You know, unsexual, you know.
Right.
Just, oh, he fucked me. Oh, God. You know, what can I do?
Right.
I'm a victim. But we played it smart. And like I said, when I finally turned it around and said, you know, let's hear some proof, she didn't have any.
Right.
Fell apart quick.
Love that.
It was beautiful.
I love. So, is she getting anything?
Nope. I'm going to take her money now, too.
Wow.
So, that's going to be great on top of it all. So, I got to tell guys, seriously, I mean, I know it's whatever. You know, Tom, you said, you know, never get involved with a single mother. Okay, I think that's true. You know, maybe once or twice with a condom, be careful. Maybe have a vasectomy, be careful. You have to know if she gets pregnant, she's going to have the kid. You're fucked on that.
Right.
I've got a couple of guys that got involved with single mothers, and these women, Tom, it's like the modern family structure. She has 3 kids from 3 different guys. She gets a check from all 3, plus she gets money from the government, and that's how she's living her life, and she thinks that's freaking normal. And this poor guy that I know is, you know, the father of one of the kids.
Guys should know that is normal. And not only is it normal, but you can avoid this. Hey, what I don't understand, and I've been asking guys this question for years, I've been asking this question, is like, what is the benefit to give your front door key to anyone? What is the benefit of that? You're too lazy to drive over to her place? I don't get it. that guys imagine that it's going to be like a sex parlor, and anytime they want sex, they're going to get it. And these women have kids. They have to pick up kids at school. They have to make lunches. They're tired. The reality is they don't like sex as much as they tell you, and they're selling you a bill of goods.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the benefit of letting them move into your home? It makes no sense.
Well, it all traces back, I think, fundamentally to the scarcity concept. You know, that basically there's not that much pussy out there. There's a world of women saying no to you. And so when one says yes, it's like a diamond. You go out of your mind.
Right.
And guys that have been with women that are cold, women that are uninterested, I think personally, Tom, and this is something you've talked about as well, I think personally the ones that make you wait are the worst.
Right.
That's the tragedy of it. You know, you get this girl and she's like, I have to know you better and I have to get to know you and 800 dates and all this nonsense. And in the end, those are the worst in bed.
Right.
And so when a guy like Mike, God help him, screws a chicken, she goes out of her mind, you know, it's and you, you know, you come really hard or whatever you want to say, I think guys lose their mind. I think they say, this is so special and so rare, they're ready to put up with anything.
You know, the real truth in looking back to the days when I didn't have a three-date rule for myself, going back in time.
Right.
If I think back and I'm honest with myself, the more they made me wait, the more I lost interest.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The more chemistry was going down the drain.
Of course.
It got to the point where by the time she gave it to me, I didn't want it anymore.
Right.
And so I just decided to cut it off after three dates. If there's chemistry, it'll happen in three dates.
Well,
and if there isn't, it won't.
I love your line on that. And it truly is. It's so lovely and empowering to, you know, at the end of the third date, and it's not happening.
Right.
And you had some hope for it or whatever, and you're kind of keeping it alive in some way in your mind. It's so lovely to say to the woman yourself, you know, it's just been so nice going out with you, and I really had hope for this relationship. I thought we had some potential together, but obviously there's no chemistry.
Right.
And she's going, no, no, there is chemistry. You go, no, no, that's okay. That's okay. There isn't. Let's face it, okay?
Right.
And, you know, I like you. We can be friends, but, you know, there's just no spark. And to be honest with you, I think if you took your clothes off right now, I wouldn't even want to anymore.
Right.
I've lost interest. A woman loses her fucking mind.
That's right. And then she'll give it to you right now.
Oh, yeah.
So
She's in love with you by the time you hit the door.
Look, I've told the story, and this woman knows who she is. She was a beautiful, beautiful Mexican-American woman, unbelievable, with hair down beyond her ass, very long, thick, dark hair,
hot.
And hot as hell. Amazing. And so I went on the first date with her. No dice. Went on the second date with her. No dice. Date number three, and she was a listener. Date number three. I had some press tickets to go to an event at Staples Center, and I invited her to go because it didn't cost me shit, you know. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we're getting out of the car, okay, and we are parking where LA Live is now. There used to be a parking lot there.
I know it, I know it.
Right in front of the Hotel Figueroa downtown and 11th and Figueroa. So we're getting out of the car, and if you can picture this, okay, I'm on the driver's side. I get out, and I'm closing my door, and she's getting in on her side, and she leans over the car to me with Staples Center in the background, and she says to me, you mean to tell me that if I don't have sex with you tonight, that it's going to be all over? I said, that's right. I didn't miss a beat. She said, well, I don't believe you. I said, go ahead and try me. Go ahead and try me. I'd spend a penny on this evening.
God.
Go ahead and try me. So, sure enough, she did try me. You know, gave me that peck on the cheek. Good night. And then that was it. Didn't call her again. Didn't text her. Didn't email her. Nothing. All right, so now it's about 2 weeks later, and I am sitting at my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it is a hot day, and I've got the doors and windows open. It's a Saturday evening, and it's one of those days where I'm just kind of lazing around the house, and the sun is just starting to go down, so that'll make it about maybe 7:30 or so, or Saturday night, and the Kings were on the road, so I was at home, and the phone rings, and it's this chick. At 7:30, she's already half in the fucking bag. And she says,
have another drink, sweetie.
So she's calling me. I'll tell you, she's calling me from her townhouse in Santa Clarita, paid for by the father of her kid. Who knows who was paying for
God.
It? Right. So she calls me, and she's having the bag, and here's what she says to me. Why don't you come over? Come over to where? Santa Clarita?
Yeah.
I'm not coming
so
to Santa
can get
Clarita.
Another peck on the cheek.
Seriously, come on over. And she literally was going at me for the longest time, trying to make a, I said, what? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to drink wine with you or something. And then you're going to say, well, good night. And now I'm going to be in fucking Santa Clarita on Sierra Highway trying to get home with half a bottle of wine in me. No, not doing it.
Jesus.
And she's like, you're just mad at me because I didn't give you what you wanted in 3 days. I'm not mad at you at all.
Yeah, why would
I'm
I be?
Not wasting any more of my
hilarious,
time.
Isn't that hilarious, by the way?
Yeah.
The fact that I'm defensive of my time and I don't want to waste any more of my time.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm mad at you.
That's right.
You made your choice. There's no issue. I'm just not going to give you any more to waste.
I would be mad if I went out with
you
on
the line
10 times and we were still having this conversation. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm not interested in you anymore. All right? I don't.
Tom, it's written very specifically in these self-advice books to girls.
Yeah.
Like the rules.
Yeah.
They're supposed to wait 15 dates or 60 days or 90 days. That's supposed to prove that you're serious or that you're going to marry her or, you know, get the ring within 6 months and all. There's very specific time frames. But it really ignores reality in terms of men and men's level of interest.
That's exactly right. And just so, you know, while there was still interest, while there was still chemistry, that was the time to go. That's the hardest thing for guys to do. You know, they think there's still a chance of having sex. They will not give up. And that means even if they've been told 10 times nothing's happening tonight, they'll say, well, maybe the 11th time it'll happen. It's like people who buy scratcher tickets. I'll buy 10? No, I'm going to buy 20.
No, it's like guys that are in the friend zone, okay?
Right.
And they're in the friend zone for 6 months or a year, and they think somehow any minute now it's going to, you know, next time I see her it's going to work out. It's just stupid. You know, I've done a number of cases, Tom, and it happens more than you think, where women marry gay men, okay? And no offense to gay men, okay? But the reality is that there are women that start dating a guy, and the guy, you know, he knows he's gay, but he doesn't know he's gay, all right? And he, therefore, never puts a move on her, right? Doesn't, you know, try to have sex with her. And these women are so fucking happy. It shows you how women are so motivated not to have sex.
Right.
To string it out as long as they can. It's fascinating. And they'll say to you, you know, I've been going out with this guy, Kevin, for like 3 or 4 months, and he hasn't even laid a hand on me. Can you believe that? You know, I'm so desirable, you know? And it's like, you freaking idiot. And what ends up happening is they marry the guy, and eventually, you know, the woman's saying, okay, you know, let's go.
Right.
She actually finally wants it, and it's never going to happen. It's idiotic.
No, I completely lose interest. And so the three-date rule ensures I'll never get to that point. All right? I'm interested, you're not. Thank you. And I'm not waiting for you to fall. Because here's the deal. What they're doing is they're saying, for whatever reason, I don't want to put out because I don't want to put out. I don't want to put out because my pussy is more valuable than the other pussy. I don't want to put out because you're not as hot as the last guy I dated. Whatever it is. But the point is, they're waiting until they fall in love with you, or waiting until they're blinded by emotion, and then it'll be okay.
How's that ever going to happen? It's ridiculous.
People get together on that basis all the time. It's wrong, and ultimately, with time and a marriage or a relationship, it proves out to be wrong. But people get caught up in that moment, and they, you know, you have to have rules. The reason there are books of rules, whether it's mine or other people's, is that if you don't make rules for yourself, you keep letting people put you off, or you keep letting people tell you how things are going to be, and you don't have rules for yourself, eventually that's how you get into these situations where you're being threatened.
So
it
has to mean that 10 to 20% of the women are having all the sex with the guys.
Right.
So there's like maybe 10 or 20% of really, like, you know, I don't know, hot necessarily, but interested chicks who are fucking their brains out, right?
Right.
And they're screwing most of the guys.
Right.
And then 80% of the women are cold and not interested and waiting till marriage and waiting till the 100th date or whatever. And they end up being, what, cat ladies? That's the world? And so you have a chick like Mike's girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, who's completely out of her fucking mind. But because you know, she's hot to trot with sex. He was willing to tolerate almost anything.
Right.
And you said this woman you're talking about just now, the one from Santa Clarita,
yeah.
She's a single mother.
She's a single mother.
So that's the worst of the worst.
Well, no doubt about it.
I know, but what the fuck were you doing with her?
Well, again, this is years ago, Adam. I'm not telling stories from yesterday.
I understand, but years ago, Tom, that's the biggest mistake of all.
No doubt. And by the way, one of the reasons I tell guys now not to date single mothers, and I don't either, is because one thing that always got to me was that somebody else had seen that woman naked. Somebody else had sex with her, and it isn't me.
That's right. And by the way,
this guy who she's telling me is a deadbeat, a
loser,
a bad father, this and that,
that
guy had sex with her. And I, because he behaved badly, I am going to have to wait.
No, you're going to have to pay the price.
I'm not paying the price.
And by the way, she did every nasty fucked up thing with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She was down for it, okay? You, on the other hand,
right.
You know,
right.
Don't touch me there.
Right.
And on top of that, if she met a rock star or she met some famous guy at a bar,
she would do
anything.
She
ran into George
asked,
Clooney, and he said,
anything.
I'm in room 1512 at the W.
That's right.
She'd be going up.
No doubt.
She wouldn't be making him wait 3 dates, please.
No doubt. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. If you've got family law issues, separation, divorce, child support, vaginamony, custody, these are the things he does. And we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam as we continue.
So, how do you like our
little internet project?
Now, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time, instead of him talking about it or my talking about it, many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the black box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, after plugging my iPod into the black box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service. We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz, wrote us, my neighbors hate me now. That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought 3 of these from us. He wrote, I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box.
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a black box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that black box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the black box.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show. Especially when Dino takes a hot sauce challenge.
Let me catch my fucking breath. I think I may have been too liberal. Run my fucking toes. I was too much. I'm serious.
Guts, glory, stupidity. The Gary and Dino Show.
Too much.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
I'm serious.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Have a time.
show. And, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, I would be very happy to talk to you on the phone, which I answer myself. Call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. Check out my name on Facebook, Law Offices of Adam Sachs. And, of course, you can email me. I love email anytime, naturally, day and night. And I usually answer pretty quick, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Works for me, adam@adamlawyer.com. That's
and
how you
stay
get
stay away from the crazy chicks.
Exactly right. Okay, yeah, you know we have Adam in here for a bonus hour every Tuesday. At if you're listening to the replay or the podcast, you can call him with your live legal questions next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zdino.
You better believe it.
Brought to you by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Yes, fully digital.
It's Beer Magazine. A Canadian woman told a court yesterday that her ex-boyfriend forced her to have sex with his bulldog.
Oh, this is a sin. It just is. It's wrong on many levels.
Son of a butch.
When does no mean no for a dog? Right.
The
By
woman,
the way, it, yeah. it was done because they were hooked on the cocaine.
They were on the cocaine and the alcohol. Darren Eugene Henwood is the boyfriend. He apparently raped her with the dog every night, according to her testimony.
You know, I'm not buying the cocaine aspect of it, because if that was the case, cocaine turning people into bulldog fucking individuals, then, you know, I would have an issue myself.
Now, the interesting twist on this is that apparently he would photograph these sessions, but he would make her smile, so it appeared as though she was enjoying it.
Yeah. The woman testified she was always under the influence of the cocaines and alcohol, or cocaine and GHB, when all the sexual encounters allegedly took place. By the way, he threatened to post photographs and videos of her having sex with the dog on the internet. Yeah. That's what she testified.
And then he would force her into doing live shows with a webcam, which Rodney would watch.
Of course.
In his own bedroom.
I'm a fan of the Brindle dogs.
The woman did, in fact, go to police because she said she knew this was ruining her life. Yeah. Thank you.
At one point, he told her that he was giving her GHB every single night and doing her while she was knocked out, and that there was no way she was ever going to catch him.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
This now is they do up there in Canada.
BC.
Yeah. No mention of any hockey sticks used or anything like that.
Oh, boy.
Unreal, right?
Oh, I don't know what happens up there or not. I'm sure our Canadian friends up there have a court system that will punish those involved here.
Yes. In the name of fairness in reporting, I will tell you because of the story that we reported on yesterday, a former female Phoenix teacher sentenced to 20 years for sex with a 14-year-old female student. So there's finally a case where somebody got some serious jail time.
But do you
That's because the victim was a female.
Correct. But do you see, though, there's something very interesting with this teacher compared to the other teachers that get lighter sentences. This teacher is unattractive.
Yes.
And a box licker.
And a box.
Does it say if it was a...
Yeah.
Oh, a female student, yeah. Oh, yeah.
14-year-old female. I think the age, too.
They don't know, because dudes that are doing it getting a lot. And when the broads do it, if they're good-looking, getting a little slizzap on the wrist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, our girl with the faux hawk and I just got really in trouble mugshot. Yeah, she's going to do 20.
Yeah. And in New Jersey, an attorney representing what they're calling a hot English teacher, a female.
I'm going to be the judge.
says that her arrest last week for doing her 18-year-old male student is not a crime and should not be prosecuted. Dude's of legal age. And he feels that she should go walking free.
Wow. Well, I mean, there's something in the job description where it does, even though it might be legally outside of school grounds, there's something, I think, there that doesn't allow teachers to bang their students, even if their students are of age.
Yeah. Apparently, she is the mother of two amazing girls, according to the school's website, and she also has a puggle named Tegan.
That's the first thing I would name my dog.
Yeah. I wonder how her husband feels about her bagging the 18-year-old boy.
More importantly, I want to know how the puggle Tegan feels about this whole shenanigan.
Go straight to Tegan for a response.
There he
finally
is.
A pig alert for you. It's one of our all-time favorites. It's Candace Swanepoel.
And boy, does our girl deliver.
Wow.
She is the FedEx of lingerie. Wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's celebrating St. Valentine's Day, and I'm fine with it.
Jesus Christ. She gets better and better somehow.
I don't know if she even ever has clothes on. I'm serious. I've never seen
her. She's always naked.
Regular.
Right.
Never.
Right. And she's never banged a bulldog, ever.
Never.
Maybe the cocaine's would be nice, isn't it? Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Thanks, Paul. Ed Simpson working to dig that up.
Oh, my God.
From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
Shorty, I don't mind. If you work on a pole, that don't make you a hoe.